Continuing on. Kvarena, royal happiness. One of the most significant aspects of Inner Russia was the sacred mission of the Russian monarch. Holy Rus always had its sacred center, just as it had its capital, first Kiev, then Moscow. It also had a living and personified pole of national sanctity, the Tsar, the anointed by God. Interestingly enough, some of the Turkic people preserved the tradition of venerating the Russian monarch up into the 18th century. For example, the Buryats believed Catherine to be the incarnation, or the embodiment, of the White Tara, one of the greatest bodhisattvas of Lamaism. Such universal importance assigned to the monarchy within the framework of the empire once again shows that Russia has never recognized itself to be something purely ethnic. By contrast, she is a reality of a higher level, a reality of the geosacred tradition in which different peoples had their proper place. Therefore, the Russian White Tsar was simultaneously the Tsar of all ethnoi inhabiting the empire. The Russian monarchical tradition began, as is known, with the calling of Rurik from the Varangians to kingship over a group of Slavic and Finno-Ugric tribes. In the latter period, descent from the first prince Rurik was the spiritual and genealogical justification of royal authority, its legitimacy and sacred legality. This tradition was so persistent and deep, so self-evident and absolute in Russians' understanding, that it simply could not have been inconsistent with the indigenous archetypes of ancient forms of consciousness which, although moved into the sphere of the unconscious, nevertheless did not lose their efficiency and validity. In our opinion, the calling of Rurik from among the Varangians was seen as a great, nationwide mystery embodying in itself the scripts of the supernatural origin of royal power that is characteristic of all ancient, traditional dynasties. Let us try to clarify the sacred underpinnings of this mystery which confirm the sacred dynastic center in the space of Inner Russia. First of all, we can refer to Zoroastrianism, in which the mystical side of royal power was elaborated in detail and had a significant impact on the structure of the consciousness of the peoples who have inhabited the ancient Russian lands. Zoroastrians believe that the emperor has a special, more than merely given, right to rule. This sanction is embodied in the possession of a light-bearing force, Kvarena. Kvarena, or Farn, is a condensed light energy which renders a person equal to a god. The symbol of Kvarena was traditionally believed to be the falcon Vargen, and sometimes the ram. On the other hand, Kvarena was identified with the element of fire, which only naturally strives upwards towards heaven. Every Iranian king had his own personal fire symbolizing the possession of Kvarena. If we return to Rurik, called from among the Varangians to kingship, we see that he etymologically embodies the entire complex of Zoroastrian ideas, and apparently some common Aryan ones. Rurik, in Scandinavian, means falcon, that is, the predominant symbol of Kvarena. In addition, the word Rurik is startlingly close to the Old Church Slavonic Rarok, which means fire or spirit of fire. In fact, the Old Church Slavonic Rarog also meant falcon. With the baptism of Rus, Tsar Rurik also became anointed by God, endowed with the power of Christ and referred to as the Lamb. Thus, the idea of the Christian monarch was the spiritual development and sacred confirmation of the ancient monarchical tradition perceiving the calling of Rurik as a nationwide acquisition of heavenly blessing or Kvarena. In this case, as in many others, Christianity did not abolish, but rather exalted and confirmed the ancient pre-Christian faith. Now about the Varangians. Without entering into the debates over the ethnic identity of this tribe, which is unimportant for us, we will try to identify the symbolic meaning of this name. Zoroastrianism once gave us some keys, so we turn to it once again. The word Varangian, in terms of sound and possibly also in terms of origin, is close to the name of the Zoroastrian god Varhorn, or Verethragna. Varhorn is one of the seven supreme gods of Mazdaism, the god of victory. It was none other than this god, who was believed to be the fundamental carrier and bearer of Kvarena, and he was traditionally associated with the falcon Vargen, as his constant companion or even his incarnation. Thus, the Varangians, in addition to their historical specificity, could represent some kind of symbolic meaning, the embodiment of full Kvarena, royal happiness, one precious part of which, Rurik Falcon, descended, like mana, on the grace-hungry tribes. But the mythological, etymological chain does not end there. The word, Varyag, is also quite comparable with the Sanskrit root svar, or sky, sunlight. In fact, it is also very close to the Persian hvar, from which kvarena is derived. It is possible that the Russian word for north, sever, is also related to svar, as the north was considered to be of a heavenly, divine orientation by the ancient Aryan peoples. Therefore, the correlation between the Varangians, the north, and the sky perfectly corresponds to the very mysterious logic of the calling of the first Tsar. It is possible to still go further. Varharn is the Persian equivalent of the Sanskrit word Vritrahan, which means the slayer of Vritra, the epithet of the heavenly Tsar, the god Indra. Indra is the Hindu archetype of all kings, who dwells and is found, according to traditional Hindu cosmography, in the sky, Svar. The very name Indians and Hindi is by all means likely the theophoric, which means god-bearing, name of the people of Indra, and therefore a god-bearing peoples. The Varangians, for their part, as one of the Indo-European tribes, could have essentially been the theophoric people of Vargan, or Vergarn Veretragna, which is essentially the same as Indra, the slayer of Vritra. Nor can it be excluded that the distant echoes of these mythological correspondences, living on in the depths of the national unconscious, gave rise to the concept of Russia as the White India among poets of a folk mystical orientation, such as Kluyev and Yesenin. The Russian monarchal emblem, the Byzantine two-headed eagle, can also be compared to Falcon Rurik, the carrier of the magical power of Kvarena. Another curious detail is that Moscow, the capital of the Russian state and the seat of the Russian Tsar, has as its emblem St. George slaying a serpent. Varharn, the god of Kvarna, is first and foremost the god of victory, and St. George is also the victory bearer. In addition, the very name Varharn Veretragna, as we said above, means snake slayer, or slayer of Vritra, and St. George is usually depicted as killing the serpent. It is also characteristic that Iranian mythology contains a number of tales depicting a struggle between a solar hero and a serpent or dragon, the conflict of which is over the right to possess the mystical power of Kvarena, a right for which opponents challenge each other. Thus, the combination of these symbols in the coat of arms of the capital, the residence of the Tsar, along with the eagle as the symbol of Russia in general, yield the paradigm of the ancient structure of the monarchical mystery. Another traditional symbol of royal authority in the state is the orb mounted with a cross, the symbol of the earth in ancient astrological texts. The state of the Russian Tsar, naturally, is identified with the Russian land. And here, once again, we are talking about Inner Russia, which we spoke about in the beginning. It is especially important that in the national sacred tradition, it is precisely the Tsar, the anointed by God, the messenger of heaven, and the bearer of supernatural fire, who protects and keeps in his hands a gigantic land. Hence the title Autocrat from the seven secret saints of the Christian tradition on whom the whole weight of the world rests. All of Russian history is permeated with the deepest understanding of the sacred role of the Tsar. This understanding contributed to a much more religious relationship between the Orthodox and the monarch than that seen between Catholics and their kings. Moreover, the Orthodox idea of the Tsar sharply differs on a theological level from the corresponding Catholic concept. In Russia, there was never a division between purely spiritual life, subordinated to the spiritual hierarchy, and purely secular life, subordinated to kings, as in the case of the Catholic West. In the idea of Holy Russia and Tsarist Russia, all levels of the sacred way of life are combined. The Church, as the spirit of Russia, did not set itself above the Tsar, but recognized his supernatural and legal authority, and gave blessing to his power, which without the state would have lost its sacred pole. Thus, the inner continent, Russia, had its inner center, the sacred monarch. Their merging, their symbolic hieroglyphos, accounts for the specific Russian fate and the deep dimension of Russian history.